In today's Mishnah, we'll learn the sixth and final Mishnah from the third parak Masechta Kinim, and with that we finish Seder Kodshim, and then we'll begin the new Masechta, that being Masechta Kelim. So Mishnah begins. Ha'isha Shamra. So a woman said, Harei alai ken, I'd like to bring a voluntary, she makes a neder, a voluntary pair of birds as an offering, that would be two a lot. Kishelet zachar, if I give birth to a baby boy. If indeed the Mishnah says, Yalda zachar, she did give birth to a boy. Mevia shtei kinim, she has to bring two pairs of birds. One to fulfill the neder she made, and the other, the second is the obligatory ken she has to bring as a result of giving birth. Tanan the coin she gave to the coin. Va'coin sarich lasot shalosh predot milamala v'chal milamata. She gave all four birds to the coin, and what should the coin done? He should have offered three above and one below. That is because three of the four birds should have been olah offerings, and one was meant to be a chatat. However, lo asaken. The Kohen didn't do that. He was handed two pairs, and he assumed they're both kinei chova, and therefore he offered one ela asa shteim lemalan v'shteim lemata. Two of the birds were offered above, and two were offered below. V'lo nimlach, but he didn't ask the woman the reason for why these birds were being offered. That's what gave rise to the mistake. Therefore, the Mishnah says tzarich lavi od preda achat. She would have to bring an additional bird now because one of the birds would be pasul. V'ikravena has to be offered as an olah. And that is a result, this is only if they were all brought mimin echad from one type, meaning all torim or all b'nei yunah. So how do we understand the Mishnah? As explained, the birds were given as pairs to the kohenim. The kohen offered one pair, one above, one below, and the other pair, one above, one below. So the first pair would be fine, because that the first pair that was offered, considering it's a ken chova, one had to be offered above and one had to be offered below. However, the second ken, since they both had to be offered above, as olot, and one of those offered below, that means one of those two birds is considered invalid. So therefore, as you can see in the picture, the single olah is pasul, so she has to bring a replacement bird for that olah. The Mishnah however continues, what if she brought the two pairs from Mishnei Minim, two different types? If you recall, recently we said that that the bird offerings could come from either Torim or Bnei Onah. Now, we signify this in our diagrams by simply showing the birds flying the opposite direction, rather than probably more preferably of having the Bnei Yonah as smaller birds, because they're young pigeons as opposed to Torim, which are more mature turtle doves. In any event, since the Kohen doesn't know in this case which was offered first, and recall that according to Tiferet Yisrael, Rashi rules that the first ken is always going to be considered the ken chova, then we have an issue. We're not sure from which type the second ken was. I mean, don't know if there was a torin or bnei yonah. Again, if you have a look at the picture, possibility one is that the torin were offered second. Possibility two is that the bnei yonah were offered second. So in other words, one of the two birds that was meant to be offered as olah is valid, and we have to bring a second bird to partner with that. But since we don't know what type it is, you have to bring one bird from each type. In other words, one tor and one bnei yonah. The Mishnah then continues, Pirsha nidra tzrich levet od shalosh predot mimin echad. So the next level of complexity we add to this Mishnah is if at the time she made her neder, she stipulated exactly what species or what type of bird she wanted to bring that neder. Meaning she said, if I give birth to a boy, I'd like to bring a neder from Torin or Bnei Onah. However, she forgot. Mishnah explains, Tzricha lavi od shalosh predot mimin echad. Meaning, Mimin Echad here is if all the birds, the two pairs, were offered from one type, well, based on the first Mishnah, we know that one of those birds is invalid. However, let's say they're all offered as Torin. The problem is that she can't just bring now a replacement Tor because her neder may have been in the beginning to bring them from Bnei Yonah. So in order to ensure that her neder was satisfied, she has to bring one Tor to partner to the one Tor that was already offered and another pair of Bnei Yonah to ensure that her neder was fulfilled, in case she stipulated she wanted a neder to be from Bnei Onah. That's why a total of three birds have to be brought in this case. Mishnah continues, Mishnei Minin, if however the birds that were brought were from two different types, meaning one ken was Torin, another one was Bnei Onah, then in that situation you'd have to bring now Tavi Arba, four different birds. And that is because, again, we're not sure which of the two pairs were offered first, and also she forgot what she stipulated as a neder. So from the first possibility, it may be that the second pair of birds was from, using our diagrams, they were Torin. And so therefore one of those birds' replacement would have to be a tor. However, her stipulated neder may have been b'nei ona, so neither of those birds really would have satisfied her neder. The same is true in reverse. Maybe the second pair of birds were b'nei ona and she stipulated torin. So therefore, in order to satisfy her neder now, she would have to bring two torin and two b'nei ona, altogether arba. Misha then continues, kav'a nidra. So what does it mean here, kav'a nidra? So again, according to Rashi and Rosh, based on which we're explaining the Mishnah, she says, she stated the time she made a neder, she wanted to bring that neder along with her ken chova. What does that mean? That means she part of the stipulation was she wanted to effectively bring these three olot together, meaning the pair of olot for her neder along with the olah that came from that ken chova. So to make it clear, the Tiferet Yisrael explains that she intended that she would not fulfill her obligation to bring her olat chova if it was not brought along with her ken that she stipulated, the voluntary ken that she wanted to bring. So the Mishnah explains then, tzricha, in that case, tzricha lavi od chamesh predot miminachad. In other words, if all the original two pairs of birds were brought from one type, in that case, she would have to bring five now birds, five or lot, to satisfy her neder. Why is that? That is because, once again, in the case where it was two birds from the same type offered, referring to the same diagram, one of them is, we have to be concerned, well, one of them is definitely invalid. That means she did not fulfill her original neder of bringing these three or lot together. But once again, since we're not sure what she was, again, based on the building on the previous case of Pirusha Nidra, she's forgot what type she wanted to bring her original neder from. So she'd have to bring two Torim and two B'nei Ona, but also an additional Ola now from the same type as a Ken Chova, because if you recall, she effectively said, I do not want to satisfy my obligation of bringing the Ola as part of my Ken Chova unless I bring it along with the two Olot from my neder. So again, we need four birds to satisfy her basic neder plus additional olah from her ken chova to ensure the olah from the ken chova is brought along with the neder. What happens, however, if it is mishnei minim, if the two pairs of birds initially were brought from two different types? Now, the only difference between this case and the previous case is now we're not sure what type, again, look at possibility one and possibility two, we don't know which type the ken chova was from. Was it from Torin or was it from B'nai Ona? Because we don't know which type was offered first. So let's explain. Once again, she has to bring four birds to ensure that her stipulated neder is fulfilled, and she'd have to bring an additional bird now to partner with a bird from the ken chova, from obligatory ken. However, because we don't know what type that is, she has to bring a bird from each type. So therefore, four to satisfy her neder, two additional to ensure we're having the olah from the same type as the chatat, that brings six altogether. What happens, however, netanan lekohen, she gave the birds to the kohen. Ve'ein yadua ma nitnatna, she doesn't know what she gave him, and halach al kohen va'asayin, he doesn't know what, and the kohen went and offered the korbanot. Ve'ein yadua ma asayin, he doesn't know what he did. We got a serious problem now. So tzricha lavi od arba predot linidra, she'd have to bring four birds to satisfy her neder, again, because she said, I want to bring my neder from a particular type, she doesn't know which type that is, so she has to, we can only assume that, again, based on what we've been saying previously, she has to bring four now to ensure her neder is satisfied. Shtayim lechovata v'chatat echad. What's shtayim lechovata? Once again, we don't know, we have to be concerned that the chatat was from the ken chovah was offered correctly, but we don't know what type that was from. So we have to bring two birds, two olot, to partner with the chatat that possibly was offered in a valid format. So far this is exactly the same as the previous case. The difficulty with this case is because the kohen doesn't know how he offered the birds, it might be that he offered them all above, and the chatat is invalid. So therefore she has to bring an additional bird, which is the chatat. Now the fact that we need a ken chovah to come together, that's meaning that that we need the olah to be the same type as a chatat, that's satisfied by the fact that we are offering additional six different olot anyway. So six olot, one chatat to ensure her neder is satisfied, and the olah is partnering with the possible chatat that was offered correctly. Ben Azai says, no, You need an additional bird. You need shtei chataot. Why is that? And that is because, if you recall, according to Ben Azai, he says which bird determines the type of the ken chovah. It's not always a chatat. It's whichever one was offered first correctly. So in other words, if the chatat was offered incorrectly, and we don't know, and it's possible, again, from this ken chovah, it's possible that the ola was offered correctly, but we don't know what type that is, you have to bring two chataot now, one from each type, one is a tor and one is a ben yonah, to ensure that this chatat is the same type as the ola that possibly was offered correctly first. So according to Ben Azai, you need to bring eight different birds. So Amar Rabbi Yeshua said, Ze she'amru kishu chai kolo echad o kishu met kol shiva. Which means, it's as one would say, when it was alive, referring to animal, it had one voice, meaning the voice of the beast, or kishu met. However, when it died, it produced kolo shiva, seven different sounds. What is that? Ketzad, kolo shiva, how do we have seven sounds? Shnei karnav, the two horns, make two trumpets. Shtei chatzotzrot. Shtei shokav, the two forelegs, make shtei chalim. You could produce two flutes from it. Oro, the hide, you could use to produce a tof, a drum. Me'av, meaning the intestines, could be used to produce nevalim. And b'nei me'av, meaning the small intestines, can be used for kinorot. So we're using the intestines and small intestines to produce strings for these nevalim and kinorot, which are also instruments in the Beit HaMikdash, like the other instruments listed in this Mishnah. Nevalim are generally understood as being lyres, and kinorot as harps. V'yesh omrim, and some say, aft samrot chelet. Even its wool can produce another sound, that of from techelet. Now, what's this referring to? So there's different explanations what this could be. One understanding is it refers to the pomegranates, the rimonim, the base of the me'il, the coat of the Kohen Gadol, that were next to the bells. And so that is one understanding. The Raza actually says it can refer to the entire coat. However, the Chachamim disagree with the Yesh Omrim, because either they themselves do not produce sound of their own accord, or the Chachamim were only concerned with the instruments, or that which produces music after the animal has died, as opposed to wool that can be sheared off. In any event, we see here a situation when an animal is alive, it produces one. When it dies, it produces either seven or eight. Now, that's a way of, that parallels the debate in our Mishnah, meaning while the animal, once these birds have died and the Kohen doesn't know what he did, in the final case, we see two different opinions, whether seven additional birds have to be offered, or, as Ben Isaiah said, had to be eight. Rabbi Shimon ben Akasha omer, Rabbi Shimon Akasha adds, Zikni am ha'aretz kol zaman shemazkinim datam meterefat aleihem. When it comes to the elders of the am ha'aretzim, or the unlearned people, as they get older, it says they lose intelligence. As it says in the Pasuk, Shneemar, Mesir safa le'ne'emanim v'tam zkeni mikach, meaning he removes the speech of men of trust, the reason of elders he takes. However, val ziknei Torah, when it comes to the Talmidei Chachamim, the Torah sages, einam kem, that's not the case. Ela calls man shemazkinim, as they become older, it says, data mityashevet aleihem, they become more clear-minded. Shneemar, as it says, bishishim chochma v'orech yamim tvuna, in wisdom with aged men and understanding in length of days. Now the Mefarish explains that this statement of Rav Shimon ben Akash is actually a braita. However, it is inserted here, according to one understanding, there are a few explanations for this, but it really parallels what we've just discussed. Meaning, just as like we see in the previous case, when the animal died, suddenly we had an increase of mitzvot, more in terms of more korbanot that had to be offered, all the musical instruments that were used in the Beit HaMikdash as a result. So too, we find as a Talmud Chacham ages, when normally the physical becomes degraded and weak, and when it comes to Chachamim, the wisdom increases. With that, we complete Masechet Kinim and Seder Kodshim. Let's now begin Masechet Kelim. And Masechet Kelim literally means vessels. However, it discusses this is the introduction to Tumah and Tara in general. It's more the susceptibility of Kelim, the various vessels, to become Tameh, how they become Tameh, and the like. So this first perek is a very good introduction to the world of Tumah and Tara, as it deals with the different sources of Tumah, and how the sources of Tumah can vary with each other in terms of how they transfer Tumah. So to keep it brief, given that the Shira has gone much longer than normal, this first Mishnah simply discusses those sources of Tumah that transfer only through direct contact. There are other ways that tumah can transfer, and we'll discuss them as we go through this perek. So Mishnah begins, Avot HaTumah. What are these sources of tumah? Now, an Av HaTumah can make tumah pretty much anything that is susceptible, that can become susceptible to tumah. So not just food and drink, also people and other kelim as well. The first is a sheretz. These are one of the eight teeming creatures that the Torah says are sources of tumah when they're dead. They are choled, achbar, atzava, nakah, v'koach, v'altava, chomet, v'nishamet. I'm not going to translate them because even their translation is subject of debate. And they, while they're considered yavesh, while they're lach, while they're still moist, and they are a source of tumah. And the shiur, meaning the minimum amount of such a creature to become a source of tumah, is an adasha the size of a lentil. And that is also same for shichvat zera, this refers to semen. That is also considered a source of tumah. Similarly, it's also matame if it's also the minimum shiur, if it's simply resting in a location, adasha, much like a sheretz, and also only when it is lach, when it is moist. Next, utmemet. For simplicity, there's a long discussion in Kahati about this, but a lot of the points that are picked up in terms of points of debate that Kahati discusses, we'll touch on as we go through this seder. For simplicity, we're going to refer this to a person that came into contact with a corpse. Not a corpse itself, that's an aviyah vototoma. We'll discuss that later. But a tmemet refers to a person who touched a corpse. That person themselves is also a source of tumah, and if someone touches them, they will become tameh. Next is the hametzora. Metzora is an individual who has tzara'at. This is the spiritual affliction, which we'll discuss in much more detail when we refer to when we learn Masechta Nagayim. Wrongly translated generally as leprosy, it refers to a white mark on the skin or on the clothes, or have a mark on the clothes or the house. Again, we'll discuss this later. However, the point is after he is healed, and he's going through the seven-day purification process when he can return to the machane. In that period of purification, he is still a source of tumah. So if someone touches him, meaning direct contact, they will become tameh. Next, umei chatat she'ein bahem kedei hazaya. So mei chatat refers to the spring water that had the ashes of the praduma, the red heifer, sprinkled on them. We'll discuss that in Masechta Parah in a lot more detail. But that water is used as part of the purification of someone who became tamemet, who came tamemet by way of being in contact with a corpse. Now, if there isn't enough, meaning there's not enough of that mechatat to perform the sprinkling, and that shiur is enough to dip the head of the hyssop that they used as part of the sprinkling process. So if it doesn't have that amount, then it's still an avatuma, meaning if someone who touched it would become tamemet. But how's that different? Meaning, we'll see later on that if it did have the shear, then it transferred to me in more ways, by what's called by masa, by carrying it as well, even if not in direct contact. In any event, the Mishnah says, Harei Eilu, all these things listed, matami, madam, vekelim, maga, that if people or vessels come into contact with any of the things listed, they will become tameh, as we mentioned, and also kli cheres ba'avir. So kli cheres refers to earthenware vessels. Now, they're different. The Torah says, V'chol kli cheres asher yipol mehem el tocho yitma, meaning there's a reference in the Torah to tumah being in the space of the kli cheres. So the unique thing by kli cheres, earthenware vessels, as opposed to any other kelim, is that tumah is transferred by the source of tumah being in the space inside the kli. Even if it's not in direct contact with the kli would become tameh. That's a stringency, but a leniency when it comes to kli cheres is something to remember as we go through kelim, is that even if the tumah is in direct contact with the outside of the kli, then that kli cheres will not become tameh. That's why it says, or kli cheres, when it comes to earthenware utensils, they would become tameh be'avir, in its airspace. And however, as the Mishnah adds, ve'enu matameh b'masa, meaning if a person carries any of these sources of tumah that we mentioned, but is not in direct contact with them, then they would not become tameh. We're going to see in tomorrow's Mishnah how we have other sources of tumah that transfer in more ways. Those are the Mishnah today.